Would you like to start over?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Circulus. I'm Crash, and there's a bunch of other people with me.
Hey.
Hi.
They play things. Pretty much. Okay, Chris, who are you? What do you do?
Cargoth Ironmaw, Goliath Bloodhunter. You can find me on Twitter at Akari_mag, or I do podcasts at AzerothCoast, which is AzerothC.com.
Tom, who is not Matt, who are you? What do you do?
My name is Tom, and I'm playing Eorth Ironmaw, the Goliath Druid, and you can find me on Twitter at Bolthra, that's B-O-L-T-H-R-A.
My headcanon is that nature is an ever-changing thing, and you are playing a druid who is deeply ingrained with nature, which is why every time that name is pronounced, it's pronounced differently.
Evolution, man.
There we go. It's a real thing. We also have Jen.
I'm playing Meepo Chippedclaw, who is a kobold sorcerer who's about 4 years old and loves prestidigitation. And you can find most of what I do over at Book of Jen, where I've got a bunch of gaming blogs, a bunch of writing, other random stuff, and a podcast called Words of Jen, where I read my writing, and that has a new episode up as of today.
And I'm waiting for Meepo to start insisting that she's going on 5.
Yeah. This many. This how many. That's how old I am. This many. Yeah.
She holds up 4 fingers, but she has a 5th finger that's sort of halfway up.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if kobolds have like 5 fingers or not. But
that's a good question.
You know, I'm not sure. So
we need to write into Dragon Talk and ask that pertinent question for one of their segments. We also have Matt, who is not Tom.
Oh, no, I'm not. I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, a human wizard.
And we, last but not least, we also have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I am playing Fenix Generalis II, and I am a Dragonborn Paladin.
And we would have Eric with us, but he's taken the next 2 weeks off, apparently, living a lavish lifestyle. I don't quite know what he's doing, but he's enjoying himself immensely. And we wish him the best, and we'll try not to kill the main healer in the group. That still might happen.
Let's be honest, Shepherd's not here, so the group won't have to sacrifice themselves for the puppy.
That is also true. However, his healing was necessary last time.
Oh, very.
Yeah, speaking of last time, Ari is heading home to see his family. He has been dreading this moment. He's been trying to avoid this moment for quite some time. He kept finding other things to do, procrastinating by going to a series of towns that had been destroyed. One town that had not been destroyed, but then got destroyed by a kraken. And he's run out of excuses. He's got to go home. And some members of the party chose to stay behind. Some of them chose to go with him. Some for dubious reasons where they thought they might encounter a wagon along the way. It can happen. It could totally happen. Along the way, in our last session, the party encountered 2 brothers who are Goliaths. One, Earth. Did I say it right this time?
Earth.
I'm going to...
Changing everything.
Just like we discussed before. Like you have to sound like you're throwing up. Go, Earth. Earth.
But before we started recording, the idea was you try to have a mouthful of coffee and imagine someone punching you in the stomach. And that's the sound that comes out. That's his name. I imagine that his mom or dad was like halfway through drinking some mead and then got smacked hard right when someone asked, so what are you going to call him? And thus a name was created that would then continue to change over time. Well, in any case, the druid formerly known as Earth because I pronounced his name wrong, and Cargoth, who... is a blood hunter, and that apparently means he's also a werewolf.
Yes.
Encountered these individuals, found out that the blights that the party sort of dealt with in episode 0, but then didn't try to find the root of the problem. I didn't plan on that being a pun. I did not.
Terrible.
In this case, that pun was not intended, but I retroactively intend it.
None of us believe you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I retroactively intend it, even though I didn't plan it. They didn't bother to try to find the root of the problem. And I said it again. So it's sort of just genius. It sort of just festered and got worse. And apparently has destroyed a lot of wagons, much to Fenix's dismay, because that was his job. But also killed at least one family because the party discovered the ghost of a small girl named Anne, who has asked the party to help bring her home and likes to ride on people's backs because if you're a small ghost, it's fun to do anyway, I guess. She also has a friend who happens to be a large owlbear.
Mr. Hoots.
Mr. Hoots. He is big and fluffy and apparently likes tea parties. So it has been insisted. And where we left off at the end of last session happened to be after you managed to cut down a bunch of trees and then nuked it from orbit, just to be sure, using Ari's wand of fireballs, not his wand of smiles, although that would be hilarious too. You're all standing on the outskirts of a very scorched clearing with a small ghost riding on Kargoth's back. What do you do?
To find a way to take Anne home, whatever that might be.
I'd like to ask Anne, where is your home?
In the woods.
Do you know where it is?
In the woods. It was dark when I ran. I don't know where it is from here.
It's fine.
She left some tracks, but we're not sure if that was just tracks running from the twig blights or from when she came.
Oh, there were definitely tracks that you followed that led you to this clearing where she was running from it.
But nothing leads to her from here.
You haven't looked yet.
Mayhaps you should.
Give me a survival check, everyone who's looking.
4.
I've got 17 plus 1.
We're going to say. Okay, so Fenix discovers that there are trees, but they're all in the way, yeah. So it's making it very hard for him to see any tracks. He can't seem to find the forest right now, which is really weird. Maybe it's around this tree? Meepo, however, especially since you're in the middle of a forest, so it's kind of shady, it's not very bright, her eyes are able to adjust to the dim light in this area. Also, she's the closest person to the ground. Mm-hmm. Is able to spot more footprints. So Meepo does find some tracks that are leading into the clearing that appear to be small human feet. They are barefoot, just like Anne is. And
everybody, look, there are more footprints. They go this way.
We should go that way.
I pack up Anne's body.
All right. And you head off into the woods. Into the woods. You find some guy leading a cow.
Kill the cow for me.
He gives you some magic beans. My school did Into the Woods as a production a few years ago. You're heading on through, and you eventually do come to what appears to be a house. You have never seen a house like this before. Normally, most houses that you've encountered so far have been similar to like medieval-style houses, but it would be like Wattle and Daub, or maybe they'd be log cabins. This one has strips of some material that go along the walls. They don't appear to be very thick. In some places, it's been torn off by something, and you can see some shiny material underneath them. It appears to be some type of shiny fabric underneath them that you can see parts where that's been torn, and there's some pinkish, fluffy material underneath that. Many of the windows are broken. The whole house is sort of sitting lopsided, where not incredibly bad. You'd be able to walk around inside of it. The Goliaths, if they lean over a bit. But still, everyone would be able to walk around inside of it. But you can definitely tell one side is higher than the other. It does have a front door that has been ripped off its hinges and thrown several feet away from the building itself. There's all kinds of damage that your best guess came from the various blights that were inhabiting this forest until recently.
All right, Ari will approach the doorway into the house.
Okay.
I just want to confirm with Anne. Anne, is this your home?
Looks like it.
Ari will... Oh, sorry.
It looks a little funny, though.
Funny in what way?
Why is it sideways?
I don't know.
Tree blights, more than likely.
Okay, so Ari's going into the house?
He is approaching the doorway.
Okay.
Is there good light inside that he can see, or will he need to activate a light cantrip?
Well, considering you have a robe of eyes, you never actually have to activate a light cantrip for yourself again.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
I kept forgetting about it myself. However, you do have a member of the party that does, actually several at this point, that do not have the ability to see in the dark.
Yep, Goliath can't see in the dark anymore. That's going to be annoying.
And also Dragonborn do not have the ability to see in the dark.
There they go.
Meepo and Obane can see just fine.
Yeah.
Why can I glow? I'm a dragon.
Dragons don't have night vision. Yeah.
They can breathe fire, but they don't have night vision.
I could. Is there wood? That, can I breathe fire on my club so I can make it?
You're gonna waste your level 6 breath weapon.
A light of torch.
And I just realized I gotta fix
two magic words.
I mean, I used it already, but still.
Question for the DM.
Answer for the player.
If I use my crimson right to light my blade on fire, would that give off some light?
It would.
Just double checking for future. Cool.
Well, the thing is, fire gives off light. So yes, I would consider that to work.
All right. So Ari will take a quick look inside the dilapidated, damaged house.
Okay.
And see what he sees.
All right. You see a room that would be quite large if it wasn't cluttered and full of stuff. The back wall in this room is filled with a giant bookshelf. There are some books that are still on it. When the whole house sort of leaned to one side, it looks like a lot of stuff fell off the shelves and it's now covering the floor. There are large metal boxes that are also along some of the walls. The majority of the room is taken up with a desk that is in an L shape. Again, with all kinds of papers and stuff on it. You don't recognize any of these as being something written in a language that you know of. There is an unusually designed chair behind the desk. It has wheels on it. The whole thing, you don't recognize the material it's made out of. It's not metal, it's not wood. There is a strange box sitting on top of this desk also. You don't think it's upright, but you're not entirely sure because you've never seen something like this before. It appears to have a window in the front of it, but the window does have a crack going down in a diagonal line.
Very peculiar.
And what is this?
It's my dad's office.
All right, we'll take a look right at the doorway down. Maybe check for any traps.
Give me a perception check. Actually, no, that would be investigation.
All right, 16 plus 7, 23.
You see no traps. Favorite thing to say as a DM.
Yeah. Put Anne's body down.
That
and just sit.
Ari will then enter the room carefully, take 2 steps in. Would there be enough light for most normal folk who cannot use dark vision to see well in here?
There are enough windows that, yes, it's dimmer than outside, but there are parts of the forest that you're going through that were dimmer than this.
Okay.
There are also 2 interior doors, one in the far wall to the right of the bookshelf near the an outer wall, and one in the middle of the wall to the left.
So we're first going to examine what Ari is nearest and dearest to his heart, the books.
Okay.
He will pick one up, kind of see, I don't know how damaged the book is, but if it looks in good shape, he'll try to flip through it. If it looks in bad shape, he may not do that.
Okay, so you go for a book that appears to be mostly intact and not trampled as much as the others.
Yes.
It is, you don't know what language it's written in. It is a hardcover book. There are books here that don't appear to have hardcovers on them. Some of them are thinner than others.
Unusual for our books.
Certainly. This particular book, there's pages and pages and pages of paragraphs. You can recognize chapters, but you don't know anything about what it's talking about. There are no pictures. Meepo has already lost interest.
Wandering around the room.
I'll slip this into my pack and to examine later at some other time when I have more magical slots available. It looks safe in here, guys. Aside from it looking to be ransacked, place looks safe. And Ari will go over to the metal box, the broken or cracked window.
The box isn't made of metal. There are metal boxes here. Some of them are quite high. They come up to your shoulder. They're so tall. They appear to have handles on the front of them in various spots. The box that's sitting on top of the desk.
Yeah, go to that.
Yeah, this is not a material that you are familiar with. And the window looks like it's frosted glass. The glass is frosted on the inside. It's dark inside of it, and you have a feeling that there's some. It's meant to be dark like that.
Peculiar. He will go over to the metal boxes, kind of touch. He'll touch one, whatever's closest one, move over to them, and just kind of, if they have a handle, he'll pull it to see what opens up.
Okay. A drawer slides out with the sound of metallic rollers in casters. It is full of paper that seems to be organized in some way, shape, or form. But all the papers in here are, again, written in a language that you don't know how to read.
Not until I have a few minutes.
you don't know how to read yet.
Yeah, yet. He has a few spells handy for that. All right, so he will close the drawer. Basically, we'll check all the drawers on these weird, tall metal boxes. Anything besides paper that might strike his interest. The paper does strike his interest, mind you, but right now he'll look for something a little more portable.
Mostly what you're finding is paper in these strange books in this particular room.
So more books inside metal boxes?
No, inside the boxes, it's just paper that's loose leaf.
Okay. All right, well, we can perhaps examine this at a later time. Oh, to have that portable hole. All right, the L-shaped desk, and it's we already checked out the frosted screen thing. Are there any drawers on the desk?
No.
I want to go tap on the window that's broken and strange.
It makes a sound that glass makes when you tap on it with one of your claws.
Now I'm playing with it.
Art will go then towards the nearest door from the desk, and he will kind of take a moment to listen to see if anything is behind it.
Oh, there are no doors. There are doorways, but
doors. Okay, then he will go to the nearest doorway to the desk, or that is closest to the desk, and let his robes do the looking, checking for any potential traps.
Okay, so distance from behind the desk, which I'm assuming you were behind the desk when you were looking to see if there are any more metal boxes, that would be the one that was to the left of the main entrance. This particular room has what appears to be a fireplace inside of it. It has another one of those strange boxes with glass on another desk, which is smaller than the first one. There are various shelves in here that appear to be filled with fabric and yarn and accoutrements that seem to have to do with crafting soft goods.
Perhaps of some interest to our Goliath friends. I don't know if they're interested in any crafty things. Ari will then check out the... You said there were more metal boxes in here or smaller metal boxes?
No metal box. One of those boxes with the window is in here on a desk.
To see if it is perhaps cracked like the other.
It seems to be a slightly different shape. It does not appear to be cracked. This room also has a door that is, when you walk through the door to this room, if you had kept walking, you would go into another room beyond that. And that room has a lot of windows that seem to be facing the direction that the sun happens to be in. So that room is full of light and... you could see just through that doorway, that room appears to have some nice couches, another one of those strange boxes with a screen, well, with a glass window, but nothing else.
I'm bored with this one, this screen. It doesn't do nothing. I'm going to follow Mr. Aryan.
He sees everything.
Yeah. I've seen some things. I don't recommend it. Ari will indicate the other... window box for Meepo to, hey, check that one out. He will then go into the windowed room to examine, just take a quick peek, let his robes do the looking, seeing perhaps if anything invisible or ethereal might be hiding within.
And I'm tapping on the other window box to see what it is.
While they're doing that, can I put Anne's body down and do a perimeter around the house just to see if there's anything?
Okay. As you walk around the house, you find two more doors that lead into the house. They are in similar states of repair, which is to say they're not firmly attached to their hinges anymore. One of them leads into a room with a floor that apparently is made out of tile. The other one leads into a room where you see some hooks on a wall, and there appear to be human-sized coats, like meant for humans as opposed to a Goliath, hanging on those hooks. And as you look through that particular doorway to the room with the coats and stuff hanging on them, that particular small room has another doorway on the opposite wall, and you see Ari standing in that particular room next to a comfortable-looking couch.
I don't see anything unusual within here.
Well, you see lots of stuff unusual, just nothing that looks like it's going to jump out and try to eat you.
Right. Well, and to him, nothing of value other than perhaps the books, but he doesn't know what they contain yet.
I will say that this house, when you were looking around it from the outside, did consist of more than one floor.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So there is an upstairs.
We need to see if we can locate those stairs. I'm going to guess that may have been the other doorway that we have not examined. So,
okay.
I see the doorway out. I see Kurgoth scouting about.
Okay. Well, to speed things up, the floor plan of this ground floor appears to be basically a sort of donut shape, with the fireplace being roughly in the middle. There is a room that appears to be a dining area. It's got a large table. There's silverware falling out of drawers that have been opened, possibly from the building settling wrong, because it happened to go in that direction, so the cabinets would just open up.
Silverware could have value.
The silverware appears to be made of steel.
Oh.
But we're not seeing any people.
Yeah.
You're not seeing any people. But that room with the silverware and the table does happen to have the stairwell going up.
Okay. That's what we're looking for. So Ari will check the stairs for traps.
You see none.
Okay. I figured as much. He will slowly, carefully navigate the stairs.
Stair creaks wildly when you step on it.
Be time for some levitation if I knew such a spell.
Everyone within 50 feet of this building knows that you're going upstairs.
Yeah, that's okay. He will tread carefully and cautiously to make sure he does, you know, the stairs do not collapse.
Okay. You get to the top of the stairs, and you clearly see to either side of the top of the stairs are bedrooms, as designated by the fact that they have beds in them. One of them, the wall is painted in bright colors that look much happier than the scene of everything being destroyed would convey to you, and there appear to be many children's toys spread out, possibly from the house settling weird, possibly because the room belongs to a child. But the other bedroom is what catches your interest more, because that bedroom happens to still be occupied by two individuals who no longer need the room.
I will kind of sigh sadly. He will carefully enter the room with the formerly living things.
Give me an insight check.
Will it involve a visual?
It definitely will.
Okay, so advantage then. And we'll take the 14 over the 2. And
okay.
That is insight. What is this page? I'm trying to use the new online sheet. There it is. So plus 1. So 14 goes to 15.
That is right on the nose for what I would have asked for. So your best guess is, well, the two people who are dead in this room appear to be a man and a woman. Your best guess is that the man died trying to protect the woman from harm based on how their bodies are laid out. But they have been, the amount of damage they took, the bodies are torn to shreds in many places. There is the strong smell of sulfur in the air, and the man appears to be holding a small object in his hand that the smell is emanating from. It might be some type of club or something, but or some type of wand, but you've never seen a design like that before. Your best guess is that it's of gnomish design.
Yeah. All right. I'm afraid to disturb the bodies too much, so I will try to mage hand the device away from him.
Okay. So easily.
Okay. We'll throw that in my backpack, along with that book from downstairs, and things to be examined at another time. Ari is loath to somewhat search this room. However, I think we have found Anne's parents and her bedroom. That said, he will go over to the pinkish bedroom and pick up a few toys with Mage Hand and begin to go back down the stairs.
One of the toys you pick up is a small monkey with cymbals, and as soon as you pick it up, it starts clapping the cymbals together.
Ching, ching.
Roll versus creepiness.
Fail. And then he will go back downstairs. Meepo, did you find anything?
No. I keep tapping on this window box, but I'm getting bored. What'd you find?
Just some things I think that were of Anne's.
Oh, she probably would like.
Meepo, give me a perception check.
Okay. I've rolled a one.
Okay.
Plus one, so I have a two. Yes.
Now, unfortunately, a one means an automatic failure no matter what your bonus is.
Well, whatever. It wasn't going to be good.
You are so bored from tapping on this glass that you miss. You would even miss a shiny.
Wow.
You missed a shiny, by the way.
Oh. But I don't know I've missed one, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's in the room over there with the big table. And I start walking
okay.
into the room.
All right. Meanwhile, I'm assuming that the Iron Maw brothers are still hanging out outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
While you're waiting for all this to happen, Anne whispers into Kargoth's ear, because she's still hanging on Kargoth's back the entire time.
That's why I didn't go in.
Take me over there.
Over where, honey?
She points to an area out behind the house where it's obvious it's another clearing, but it's not a clearing like what you cleared out earlier. This is a more natural area where it's just a break in the trees and there's some sunlight that comes through. And you think you hear a brook babbling in the distance.
I look over to my brother and follow.
Are you still... No, you put the body down, right?
Yep, I pick her back up.
Okay. So you pick her back up and you start walking over. And as you get closer to this clearing, you smell wildflowers. This seems to be a very peaceful area in spite of all the darkness and horribleness that has happened recently in these woods. That you yourself have encountered in these woods in the short time you've been in here. This is one of the most peaceful locations you have encountered since you came to Circulus, actually. You could probably take a nap here. And you just, now that you think about it, you're pretty much, you think you're due for a long rest. Everything about you feels heavier. Much heavier. Like you've been carrying anvils for days. Give me a perception check. Both of you.
My dice isn't getting used anymore.
I'm going to guess it was a one.
So
what was that?
It was a two. So
oh,
four.
So I was wrong. I was wrong then. Okay. Should have given you the benefit of the doubt. And what's...
It was the second two with that dice, though.
What is Earth's?
17.
Okay, so you notice... The first thing you notice is that your brother, who usually stands a bit taller than you, is suddenly shorter than you. And you're like, well... Okay, well, maybe the ground dips down here. There's a little hollow in the ground or something. But no, he's sinking into the ground.
Okay. Darn. Well, I don't notice it, so.
Well, you do start to notice it when you get down to waist level.
Oh, no, no.
not sinking? Like he's like
you
on
don't,
solid
You don't
ground,
have a sinking think. Sensation at all.
Okay.
Kargoth definitely has a sinking feeling.
Help.
Okay. Yorth is going to kind of reach out with his quarterstaff to his brother and say, "Brother, take hold. You're sinking."
I'm holding a corpse right now.
Well, drop her.
I'm not dropping her in the sand.
All right. He steps back.
It's not All sand. Right. It's not sand. It's forest floor. There's leaves and twigs, and you're pretty sure you went past a root. You are now up to your chest.
Right, I pass her back.
You can't, she's underground.
Okay, she's gone. I grab the staff.
Give me an athletics check.
Athletics. Plus seven. 15.
That is not enough.
I think it would be.
Okay, give me a constitution saving throw.
Surprisingly not good at those. Six.
Oh, you do not manage to get yourself a lungful of air as your head goes underground. You are suffocating.
Wonderful.
One person down, five to go.
What does everyone else do?
I'm certainly not going over where he went.
I'm still in the house. Do I even know what happened?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, Give me perception checks.
Okay. I've got 11 plus 1.
16.
18. Oban got a 6. He heard nothing. Okay, so Earth rolled an 18?
Yes.
You successfully heard yourself saying, "Brother, grab the staff." Because that's what the roll was for.
Okay.
All right. Ari, did you roll perception?
Yeah, sorry. Bumped mute again. I got a 24 total.
Okay, yeah, you definitely hear Earth calling out to his brother to grab something.
Well, Earth had the body, or Kurgoth had the body.
Yes.
So we at least want to find him too. So Ari will begin to go where he saw Kurgoth going when he saw him out that other doorway from the house. So he'll walk around to go find him, hopefully.
All right. It's not that quick a trip. And like I said earlier, there's more than one door leading out, and none of them is really that much of an obstacle at this point unless you trip over it.
What does he see once he comes across Kurgoth and Earth?
Well, you don't see Kurgoth, except for maybe the top of his head going under real quick.
Yikes. All right. Do here.
Did I fail the push and check? I'm assuming I did.
Yeah, it was too low.
Okay. You do notice... gather up tiny little spoons in the dining room.
You do notice that Ari runs outside quickly.
Oh.
I'm running towards Kurgoth.
I start trying to follow him. I figure if he's running, I should probably head that direction too. There must be something bad.
I would like to use gaseous form on Kurgoth to see if I can turn him into basically gas or mist so that maybe he can get out of the...
Do you need to be able to touch your target to do that? What's the range for that spell?
I don't think that's a touch spell.
From going
doesn't say any range.
Gosh, I don't think that's a touch spell. I'm looking at.
Am I tall enough to put my hand? Or is he already gone under?
Well, I would allow you to try to shove your hand into the ground. Range area is touch, so yeah. he is your brother.
Out, I'll touch his head. If his head was sticking out, I'll touch his head. But otherwise, I'm not putting my hand in it.
Okay. So, like, I could save you, brother. Just give me a sign.
Can I try and push my way out, or at least my arms or something?
No.
You're not the DM, Logan.
According to this, you get one strength athletics check. And if you fail that, you are pulled underground. And suffocation begins immediately if you don't get a lung full of air.
So if he can get his hand out, I'm going to just, like, grab his hand.
Which I can't, because he just said I can't.
Okay.
I don't have anything that would be any use here.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a shovel?
Well, if I'm there yet, I brought a bunch of little spoons.
Digging is for peasants.
My great club.
How much damage have I taken by this point?
Oh, that's a good question.
Can I help? Can I help dig him out?
I don't think you're going to do much with a spoon.
No,
you take 7 points of damage from suffocation.
But you have claws.
Uh-huh.
Although I don't.
Kobolds are great at digging, so I've been told. As you're discussing this is when Kurgoth takes the 7 points of damage. Kurgoth, you can faintly hear a discussion about whether or not kobolds can dig well.
See if you can dig him out.
He just thinks to himself, I should have stayed on Tal'Dorei.
Go ahead and try, Meepo. You're the best option we've got right now.
Okay, so I put down all the shiny little spoons that I brought with me. And
you just drop them and they scatter.
Yeah, well, you know. She's a kid, it's like, put them down. And I go over to where I think I can start digging as close as I can get, and I just start digging as though it were a tunnel. Like
all right. You basically crouch down and start digging like a dog where you're just chucking the dirt backwards from between your legs.
Yep.
And it doesn't take long before you uncover the top of Kurgoth's head. Kurgoth, you take an additional 4 points of claw damage. Give me a wisdom save.
To reach from the edge of the pit to touch him.
Skargoth.
You need a wisdom save?
You just took damage.
I'm not liking.
Oh, that's only when you're liking?
It's only when I'm liking.
Okay, so you're liking this. Well, no, you're not. But you're not liking anything about this. Other than the fact that the top of your head has encountered air again, if only you could breathe through the claw marks in your head.
Oh,
But yes, Earth, you do think that you can reach out and touch someone at this point.
Okay, because if I can touch his head, then I want to use gaseous form to turn him into a wisp of smoke, essentially.
Good doggy.
Okay. Kargoth?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a willing recipient of the spell, or are you going to try to fight it? I thought I should ask first.
Because the duration is 1 hour.
So. I guess that's, at this point, I
or
feel
it
like,
can be dismissed.
I feel okay. like the two brothers have done these things enough.
Yeah.
They know when he's doing it, so.
Okay. Poof! You are now a misty cloud.
I fly up through that little hole Meepo just made.
Meepo, from your point of view, you uncovered the top of a head covered in tattoos, and then suddenly it turned into steam and flew around you straight up. He kind of exploded a bit.
That was a sting.
That was neat.
I can't talk when I'm in gaseous form.
You can't.
When you're in gaseous form, so
you can float around.
Float around next to my brother, and it takes a minute to go back to transform back. So
is it something I have to dismiss? Or is it...
No, I have complete control over it.
Yeah, what if you're a mist and you go into someone's mouth?
It would not be the most pleasant sensation.
No, you ever seen that? You ever read the zombie Spider-Man comic? That with Sandman.
However, if someone would, if the person whose mouth he flies into vapes, I would give them advantage on their save.
Oh, too bad. Too bad my other character's not here. He'd smoke, man.
Okay, so.
Hold down next to my brother and take the minute to corporealize, but I can jump back and forth as long as he's got concentration for the next hour.
Okay, you pull yourself together.
Welcome back.
Thank
Yay.
You.
Yay, you're all better.
Thank you.
And I go collecting the spoons I dropped.
Okay.
Right, pack well up people and just give her a hug.
Yay. Hi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Meepo, give me a constitution save.
Okay. Uh-oh. I've rolled a 6, and constitution is +4 for sorcery.
Okay, so that's a 10. That's a 10.
Sorcerer, they get trained.
So 10 is good enough. You do not crack any ribs from the hug.
Okay, good.
My assumption was that Kargoth is aware of his own strength and would not try to crush Meepo, but Meepo is quite small, and Kargoth is quite large and quite grateful. Mm-hmm. And that could be a bad combination, hence the roll.
Right, that makes sense.
Did that little ghost girl just try and kill me? I'm guessing Anne's no longer on my show.
No, she's gone.
Ari is going to try to... He wants to get Obame in the body and her toys.
The body's gone.
Oh, wait, the body's gone?
The body went underground with Kargoth.
Oh, but okay, you left it under the ground. Well, that's okay, I guess. We were going to put it underground anyway.
Consider her.
Ari will then, can stay there.
Ari will toss her toys over to where Kargoth left her.
There is a hole in the ground where that is Kargoth shaped.
Yeah. Well, he'll throw them in there, or mage hand them in there if need be. And,
I just love that Ari just uses mage hand willy-nilly, like whenever he feels like it. It's a cantrip. It doesn't burn any slots, so might as well just use it for everything.
Yep. We'll have Obame say some prayers over the dead, hopefully to put her soul at ease.
Obame does that. I rolled a 7 for his religion check, so he has no idea if her spirit is put to rest or not.
We hope it is.
While he's doing that, I kind of just lean over to my brother and whisper, I should let you bring her back when you had the chance. She just tried to kill me, so I'm not really in the mood for being nice to her anymore.
But Ari doesn't know that, so he's just like, whatever, you're Goliath and strange.
Actually, you know what, I just looked at Obame's character sheet. He has a +6 for religion. I should have realized that the cleric would have a religion skill.
Yeah.
So he does say that he doesn't, there's no presence that he can feel. He thinks that she is put to rest.
Good. That satisfies Ari, as far as he's concerned. He will take a quick last longing look at the books that he doesn't know about or can't read, but... He can't afford to take all of them with him without that magical, lovely portable hole that then Ponk has.
Can I have a look?
Are you saying this out loud?
No, I'm just emoting.
Okay.
Can I have a look at some of the books?
You may. Go right ahead.
Go look at the house, guys. If you want to take a look around, I didn't find anything really of value.
This is Dungeons & Dragons. You can do anything you want except dig yourself out of a hole in the ground.
Entirely.
Wait. Just imagine me looking, and then there's like an underground tunnel, and it's like a wagon stash underground.
Alas, that's not here.
Are any of these books in Giant or Infernal?
No. They all appear to be made with the same alphabet, and the alphabet is not familiar to you.
Brother, is this your weird Sylvan language?
It is not.
Druids understand Sylvan.
Oh, okay.
Or is it Druidic?
Not a clue.
It's typically Druidic, but a lot of Druids take Sylvan as their bonus languages, usually. But you're Goliath, you're from a different plane, you might not.
I thought Sylvan was a school for to help kids with like tutoring and stuff.
It is a center of learning, yes.
Check your language center character details.
Well, it doesn't matter. I can tell you right now, none of you know this language.
Oh,
I have a feeling they're players.
Yep. You might be disappointed to find out what the contents of the books are.
That's okay, to Ari. It's esoteric lore. That's all that matters.
Ari casts his ritual on one of the books and finds out it's a Dungeon Master's Guide. Oh, no. I've uncovered the secrets of the universe.
This is garbage.
Apparently, you must discover what a D20 is.
The most important thing on the planet.
At this point, Ari will, after the Goliaths examine the house, he's ready to move on if they are ready to move on. If they wish to continue with us.
Good question.
For the record, your languages are Common, Giant, and Draconic. You do not have Sylvan at this time. But yeah, what are you going to do now?
Well, we've laid our soul to rest. Ari is ready to proceed onward home. The Goliaths are more than welcome to join them, however.
And Meepo has a set of silverware.
Uh-huh. Well, I just grabbed the spoons because you can use them to reflect light and make more shiny. So
okay. She could have gotten knives, but no.
Yes.
But she has daggers, so...
She is the blue Meepo.
I got that reference.
Yes. Yay! Anyone can throw knives.
It's not a knife.
And if we're going to reference something else, she can also carve her enemies' hearts out.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Fellow Goliaths, we are journeying towards my home city. There are many people there. I am uncertain if you are comfortable with journeying to a large city that may be filled with people who may not recognize your particular race.
I'm not comfortable with the cities.
We're more of a nomad kind of people.
I think I'd actually prefer to stay in the wild.
That is perfectly understandable to me.
They're going to roll up another set of characters for the next phase of the campaign. This is great.
Probably. I didn't figure two wandering nature beings would want to head towards a major civilized town or city. Call it a hunch.
I feel like at this point, Tom and I are introducing backups, so we have
exactly.
to crash and
name it. Let's face it, Tom is going to come to a bad end no matter what.
I would say, but I haven't killed anyone yet, but Earth was down to 6 hit points after 2 attacks in the last session.
I was literally just submerged in dirt, suffocating.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No saving throws. We are from introducing backup characters. We're being smart about this. They're already in canon. We can kill them whenever we need.
But I haven't killed any of you yet.
But we don't trust
Bert
you.
The Beastinger yet. Could just appear from nowhere. And
She could. She could,
suddenly,
and suddenly, poof, she's
holder
fifth level.
Us. We don't trust you.
unless you want me to let me make Bertha Beastinger level 5. Because I think she's level 2, I think.
Well, yeah, if you join the party, you start off one level lower than the high, the average of the party level.
Ari would definitely, like, push the whole heavy on the people and, you know, intolerant people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 He's like a city bad.
Yeah.
Nature good.
A few thousand folks around.
Yeah. And you know, and Punk didn't like it either. So I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to come up with a character who likes these kind of
plenty
things.
Plenty of Gear Grinder Special.
No, there isn't any. Ari has never heard of Gear Grinder Special until they got to that brewery.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a rare delicacy. Apparently. Very rare.
I've already got my character ready to go.
Okay. Well, so, we have been playing.
I don't mind just sitting out the rest of the game. I mean, that's fine.
Well, here's the thing. We got D&D Beyond. It's very good for making characters on the fly if you really want to. Or you could just level up Bertha, since you've already played that character before. We have been playing for about an hour now, so we can take our break now, and we can come back with a couple new characters.
Okay, let me take a look.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to take that break. Hey, this is Crash jumping in while we take a short break. We've got two new characters coming in. Well, one new, one returning. Tom is going to be reprising his role as Bertha Beestinger, the dwarf monk from the Escape from Husan one-shot that we did a while back. And Chris is going to be giving us a new character, Galen Kaldor, who happens to be a gnome bard. So that's going to be fun. Just a quick request, if you are liking this series, please, by all means, share it with others. Maybe give us a review on iTunes, give us a follow on Twitch or Twitter, or retweet stuff, or give us a like on our Facebook group. Every little bit helps to help grow our audience and have more people perhaps interested in the show. That would be really awesome. We don't pay for advertising in any way. We're one of those people who has those generic things that we throw into our promos. We actually don't pay for advertising because we're broke, but never mind about that. Spent too much money on D&D Beyond and rulebooks. And without further ado, let's get right back into the episode. We're back with a change in character art. Okay, so the rest of the journey is relatively uneventful. You do encounter several wagons, an army of mimics. And you have an epic adventure where, unfortunately, at the end of it, just as you defeat the major villain and ruin my plot, you are all hit over the head and gather some amnesia from this. And having done that, you lose all the XP because you have no memory of your actions. And the villain escapes to fight another day, nursing their wounds. Alas, you will not know what mistakes you've made. And also, you gain no magical items from this.
So nothing happened.
More or less. All right, so you are approaching the outskirts of the Ravenscroft manor, villa, plantation, fortification. You know, use whatever words you really feel like you want to use to describe this place. The area around it does appear to be farmland, but that seems to be normal for a lot of places in this particular locale. There is a large aqueduct that is heading down past the structure and just keeps on going down the way towards where you know Adrolanka lies, but that is still several days' journey unless you push the horses. But you are not headed that way because you happen to be right about where, well, I was going to say right where you want to be, but that's not true. That is just not true at all.
No, it is.
Okay. So what would you like to do?
Like to rage.
Yeah. Ari is raging internally. He's just not showing it. How far away are we still from the house?
You're maybe, at this point, you're maybe 15 minutes before you're within shouting distance, if you keep this pace up. And right. that time seems to be extending because you're slowing down more and more. So unconsciously slowing down. I imagine consciously, too, if you thought about it, but you don't have to think about it. You just, everyone's sort of like, they find themselves pulling ahead of you, so they stop the horses, wait for you to catch up, but they're doing it more and more and more.
Did we rest? Did we take a rest before we came here?
Yes. You have all had a long rest. It was several days' journey, so go ahead and press that shiny long rest button.
Okay. Because that the morning that he would know that they were close, he would want to change a few spells, especially if we're out of danger. That's the other thing I wanted to do.
You think you're out of danger? How sweet.
Well, physical danger.
I am not a cleric. I have cure wounds.
Yeah. Obame disappears in a poof of smoke.
He would not memorize lightning bolt while in town.
You might have cause for that.
True, but too easy to abuse it.
Oh no, we've lost power at the hospital. What can we do?
Zorch.
Oh, now our circuit breakers have blown. What can we do?
So basically,
all the electronics have released the magic blue smoke.
Yeah. That one, dark bit hell. That.
Okay.
Basically, the morning at which they know. Okay, by the afternoon we should be close to the house. He basically intends to cast a spell. Get a spell that I want. He wants to cast sending that morning.
Okay.
To his mother, to let him know that he is going to be arriving later that that afternoon, because it would be rude to show up necessarily without any warrant, to give her a chance to clean up or hide the bodies, whatever is necessary.
Possibly both.
Possibly both.
Kick you in the face.
Yeah. He just doesn't want to show up unannounced, although that might be a big surprise for them, but he's still going to do it the right way as far as he knows. Basically, okay. The sending will let him do 25 words. To a creature which I am familiar, the creature hears the message in mind, recognizes you as the sender if it knows you, and can answer in a like manner immediately. The spell enables creatures with intelligence score of at least 1 understand your message. You can send the message any distance, even to other planes, but if the target is on a different plane, there's a 5% chance the message doesn't arrive. So that morning, craft a brief message and write it up real quick. Just make sure I have within the 25 words.
Okay, while you're writing that...
Yes, go ahead and move to somebody else real quick.
Yes, so Galen Kaldor, played by Chris, we are actually moving forward in time just a little bit. We'll move back to Ari. You are hired kind of impromptu, and you sort of get the feeling that you're being hired because you're the only bard they could get at short notice. But apparently the Ravenscrofts, who are a well-to-do family in the area of Adrolanka, where you've been... hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
They have a son that's been away for the better part of a year, but he's coming home today, and they would like to have a proper celebration to mark the occasion, so they would like some music, and you'll do.
Okay.
All right. So you are escorted. Somewhat ceremoniously, somewhat unceremoniously. Some people are kind of trying. But you really get the sense that they're not happy, that there's some jokes that you should only be charging half price for your services. But you are brought to the Ravenscroft estate, and imagine an Italian mansion, like old school Renaissance level Italian mansion. That's very much what the structure looks like. If you were looking at a floor plan from above, it would look very rectangular and blocky. But on the ground level, it's very elegant. There's a lot of statuary. There's a very large courtyard near the middle that has topiaries and all kinds of shrubberies that are carved into various shapes. There is a gazebo.
Attack the gazebo.
I was waiting for that. The gazebo... it takes 2 points of damage from your attack, and you are asked not to do that again.
Okay.
The gazebo does not appear to be magical or a mimic, and you are shocked by this. Your experience tells you that it's usually both.
Mm-hmm.
But this appears to be one of the non-animated gazebos, and that is unusual to you. You are given the equivalent of a green room to practice in. Up until dinner, which is when the celebration will commence. Bertha Beestinger,
yes,
played by Tom, reprising his role. You have done fairly well for yourself since your liberation from kobold captivity by a band of intrepid adventurers. You did not enjoy your stay in the Chipped Claw Estates so much. But once you manage to get an escort to Orstrike, it was a strange turn of events, but one thing led to another. And at this point, you took a job of acting as an emissary to some human merchants that the dwarves have dealt with before, but they don't really like this group so much. The only reason they deal with the Ravenscrofts is the money does flow. So, you know, they kind of still want to deal with her, but there isn't as much metal to trade in as there used to be, thanks to, you are painfully aware, certain dwarven settlements ceasing to be, and she hasn't been happy with that. And you're sort of going there to kind of try to appease her a little bit. You're not sure how you're going to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for her.
And dwarves are not known for their diplomacy to begin with.
They are in another age.
They're kind of stubborn.
Bertha, since she's, all her training that she's had over the years at the Four Winds Monastery, she's attempted to kind of overcome some of those, what she thinks of as racial stereotypes, and is attempting to, over the years, become more calm and serene and a little more open-minded towards other races and that type of thing. So it's going to be a challenge, but she's looking for it.
You do a lot of breathing exercises. You count to 20 a lot with your eyes closed.
Yes.
And then an hour later, she rages.
Every now and then, you just punch a pillow.
Exactly. No, she's probably more of a martial character, but she's attempting to kind of branch out.
When you punch a pillow, every now and then you crit, and there's just a rain of feathers all around you. You've had some of the servants talk to you before. You've actually been here for several days. The Vicontessa Ravenscroft is what she's going by at this point. You've heard several servants correct themselves when referring to her. Apparently this is a title that she has not always had. She's come into it recently, so they're sort of getting used to it. And some people who mistitle her in her presence end up being summarily dismissed. She's been sort of kind of giving you the runaround / avoiding you. You've been sent here to have a discussion with her, but you haven't had the opportunity to even see her yet. You're not quite sure what she looks like. She might look like the person featured in multiple portraits stationed around the mansion, and perhaps like several of the statuary that exist in various locations. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you assume that maybe she looks like the likeness that is pretty much everywhere.
Bertha's just going to have to be on her toes.
That will make you 1 inch less short, so you can do that.
Enough with the racial stereotypes.
Hey, I'm a gnome. I'm worse off than you.
You're roughly the same heights, actually. It's just one of you is brawnier than the other.
She's just big boned.
And big muscled.
She's fluffy.
She can be both. All right, so do we have a message to send?
I have put it up in the who's the what's it?
Discord chat.
Yes, okay. Thank you. In the chat box.
Okay, sending. Mother, I am returning with an agreement from Coombridge Keep. Lord Ardent Idris is willing to deal. We'll discuss details when I arrive this afternoon. You receive a response almost immediately. Such great news. Looking forward to your arrival. We'll have appropriate celebration.
Okay. And they will continue onward into the city.
Okay.
Over to the estate. Sorry.
Yes. I was like, okay. So you're like, okay. So she's expecting us. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Let's take a detour. No. Yeah,
and the next three sessions happen in the heart of Adrilanka as you overthrow several criminal empires. And Ponk is just sitting in Coombridge going, why didn't I go? I could have been a contender, but no.
He would have ended up dead before he would have had a chance to take over.
Most likely. Yeah. Most likely. You would have to have a different backup character. All right. So you arrive at the front gates. You are immediately recognized by the guards at the gate, and they open it up. A runner is sent as well into the manor ahead of you. The home looks just the same way it did when you left it. Almost a year ago, and it's taking every fiber of your being to avoid turning around and walking back out.
Yeah, not a happy camper, but I must do my duty, and he will move onward.
Okay.
Said duty.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the party walks in through the outer gates. You're in the middle. You're in the courtyard area. You see a gazebo with a large chunk taken out of it. That's new. That damage wasn't there when you left.
I warned her about those gazebos.
They're prone to destruction from wandering adventurers. And on the opposite end of the courtyard, the door opens up, and there before you is your mother. And she is dressed regally, not extremely tacky, but just below that. Yeah, with the amount of silks and sequins and shinies. Meepo is enthralled.
Meepo's immediately interested.
Yes. She is definitely an older woman. For those of you who this is your first time here, you can definitely see a family resemblance between Ari and his mother. They are certainly related, even though her hair is much more of a platinum blonde than it is a darker color.
Both get mustaches.
Yeah.
Actually, Ari's got a full beard.
Yeah,
Raven
black, full beard, but neatly trimmed and you know, looked very nice. You know,
she probably has a full beard.
Who does?
She also probably has a full beard then.
No, she does not. He gets the beard from his father's side of the family.
Yes.
Specifically from his father's side of the family. But the Vicontessa happens to be a platinum blonde. It might be from a bottle. You don't know. She'll never tell.
and Ari doesn't care.
She approaches you at speed with her arms open wide. Aristobulus! Oh! I have missed you so. It has been so lonely here without any family. Meanwhile, there are servants all over the place. Yeah. There's guards stationed over. But she's talking about how lonely it has been being all alone in this giant manor.
Ari will embrace his mother dutifully.
And she gives you a peck on each cheek. But please introduce me to your friends.
I have the honor to present Meepo Chipped Claw.
Hello.
A pleasure to meet you, my dear. What interesting headgear you have.
Uh-huh. It helps me with... And when I fall.
Oh, fascinating.
I also present the mighty Fenix, paladin of Bahamut.
Are there any wagons I'm willing to buy?
We don't tend to deal in the buying and selling of wagons. But we might be able to arrange something... She is observant. She does not need a robe of eyes to pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll see what we can do, Mr. Fenix. A pleasure to make your acquaintance. And a paladin, you say? How wonderful.
Bahamut is a strange yet unknown deity to me, but he is certainly worthy.
No, she says, I have heard that that is a deity that apparently the Dragonborn picked up somehow over the past 1,000 years or so.
Finally, we have Obey Metalcaster, learned dwarven sage.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Metalcaster. And Obey bows graciously. The light gleams off his bald head.
Galen and Bertha are not here with us, correct?
No, they are currently inside.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I'm seeing them on the window, and I forgot what they were there for.
Bertha is probably lamenting that here they serve wine, not ale. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
The servants are providing Bertha's every need when she asks for it, but some things just aren't available.
She's probably a bit of a teetotaler. She's a monk. She doesn't touch alcohol. So,
oh,
again,
fantastic.
With the racial stereotypes.
It's you have yo, humanist means something totally different outside of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so Bertha has all the water she can drink.
Yeah, and that's fine for her. Maybe a little tea on Saturday nights, you know.
They do have a particularly nice vanilla chai that they can provide. But you don't want to drink too much of that because it really packs on the calories.
course. She's constantly injuring.
This is true, but there's packing on the calories and then there's packing on the calories. It's my mom is diabetic, and when she told her doctor that she had discovered chai tea, the doctor immediately said, "Oh no, undiscover that." And that knowledge stuck with me, and then I started drinking chai tea. But that's another story. Okay, so the pleasantries out of the way. Ari, give me a perception. Actually, everyone give me a perception check.
Even us?
Well, actually, no, because you're not there. But everyone 18. Who's here.
18.
Okay.
I have a 4. Maybe I was entranced by the shiny outfit.
Yes, yes, you certainly are. Mm-hmm.
17 and 4 is 21.
Okay. And you could have rolled with advantage if you haven't already. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Unless you say otherwise, or the situation seems like it's going to be only auditory, I'm generally rolling with my advantage.
Good man. All right. So you and Fenix are both aware that while the Vicontessa is doing her best to be a gracious host, her smile is very strained when she is introduced to the non-human members of the party.
Which...
Everyone.
Everybody.
Everyone but him.
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, Mom, and... do you like my friends from school?
So... Yeah. Look who I brought home.
We're cool kids. That,
yeah. Look what I brought home to dinner kind of thing.
She is borderline scandalized to the point of fainting that you brought Meepo into her home.
Meepo was my favorite. Cause she
wait, does she have that face of like some of like a cop saying someone's in your house from phone?
She's if you watch the original movie version of Annie, when Daddy Warbucks comes in, he goes, "Why do I smell wet dog?"
Oh no.
Imagine that, but it's not it's not an odor, it's the sight of Meepo.
The dwarf and the dragonborn are at least from this world to some degree. Meepo
well,
is
there
nice.
Are dwarves, though. Well, she recognized dwarves.
Dwarves and dragonborn exist. Meepo is different.
Mm-hmm. And even no. If there were kobolds here, anyone dressed right. like Meepo would get this yes. reaction from her.
Yeah. Well, she's wearing a rainbow hat, right?
Yes.
With an umbrella. She's also got, she's still wearing the sequined costume. It's so much fun. And she's got a multicolored sequined scarf that's actually a set of tights. So,
no.
She thinks she looks fabulous.
Vex actually came. He could have actually pulled off being a goddess.
Guys, Meepo is a human nor random. Meepo is a young dragonborn. Just sit in.
But. Well, we haven't said anything about her to my mother yet. Just introduced her name, and
that was it.
Mm-hmm. That was it. This is Maple.
She's not human, so that's all that matters.
That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She's not human. You'll notice at no time do we have any non. Well, there will be Galen and Bertha later, but most of the people around here are, if not all of them, are human.
Well, actually, give me a perception check.
Uh oh. All right.
Did affirmative action kick in, and she had to hire some new people.
Well, they're in discussion with HR about what they can do.
Total of 17.
Okay. You're fairly certain that one of the servants you saw at a distance was an elf.
I'm probably trying to get by. All right. I won't say anything about it.
This is like
but it's the first time you have ever seen a non-human in here that you did not bring in yourself.
Right. It makes nothing more than a mental note of it at this moment. Unless there's more pleasantries, he's willing to. Shall we go in, Mother?
Oh, certainly. Thava, come here, please. And she claps her hands twice, and a servant comes forward, bows, and says, "Yes, Vicontessa? Oh, please, show my sons. Friends to their rooms. I imagine that they are very tired after the long stay. Dinner will be ready in about an hour, so feel free to wander the grounds until then. I do have some business to attend to. I will see you at dinner. So good to have you home, son. So good indeed." And she goes off.
She's a keeper.
Oh, she's fun.
And Thava bows to the party and says, "If you will follow me, please."
Okay.
And at this point, I'm gonna keep having you roll die. Give me a perception check at disadvantage.
All of us, or
everyone that is being shown to their rooms.
Okay, I have a 3 on the dice, so here we are.
Yeah, so you can roll to see if you get lower than that, but why bother?
Right. Yeah. It's...
And for Ari, it's going to be just a regular roll, not at disadvantage because of the group of eyes.
Yeah, but that's a 5.
Oh, 15.
A 9.
Okay. And that's your lowest roll, 15, Fenix?
Yeah, my highest was a 19.
All right, awesome. There is something about Thava that seems familiar to you. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you
no,
are...
I can. She's a dragon.
You are fairly certain that she is not a dragon. She looks very human to you, and dragons look kind of not human. But there is something familiar about her. You don't know what. All right, so we're going to fast forward to dinner. Bertha, you are surprised to actually be invited to dinner with the Vicontessa for the first time in several days. In several days you've been here. Galen, you're not surprised at all because you were specifically hired to perform at this party. Is there anything you have in mind for your performance? How are you going to provide entertainment?
Free bird.
Playing on the lute.
Okay. He like frees a bird at the beginning of the performance. No one understands it. Yes, give me a performance check.
25.
You faintly hear someone saying something where you're not sure they wanted you to hear it, but you're good at this. You are good at your job. You know you're very good at your job. But you hear someone in the background say something about how they can't even tell you're a gnome from your playing. And it's meant to be a compliment, you think.
Yeah, that boy's good.
There's a bunch of servants that are in the back of the dining hall that are all holding up matches. You don't...
Someone also light a match, too. And just kind of wave it back and forth.
Okay. And dinner conversation is probably about as strained as it can be at this point. But is there anything that any of you wish to bring up?
Well, Bertha has probably switched into her finest ceremonial robes. They're blue silk. So she's and kind of done up her hair. She's normally just real kind of basic with her hair, but she's kind of, you know, gussied herself up or whatever. But she kind of waits for kind of a pause in the conversation and is going to address the, is it Vicontessa, you said?
Yeah.
Is that how it's pronounced? She's like a...
It's the female version of Viscount.
Oh, okay. So she's going to say, forgive me, Vicontessa. I did have some matters that I wish to discuss with you. Following dinner?
Oh, certainly. I'm sure we'll find the time after dinner. If I'm... by the way, those of you who saw the Vicontessa at the beginning of this, she is wearing a different but equally elaborate outfit. You get the sense that she spent the entire hour before dinner changing into this outfit.
Like every time you see her, she's wearing different clothes.
Yeah, so basically Padme.
She's showing off.
She's trying to impress you, although I'm not sure why.
That or she's just doing what she wants to do. She's fabulous, and she wants you to know it.
Yeah. That is very likely.
Bertha is doing her best to be, as you know, not politically correct, but you know, making sure she's using the right spoon for everything. I mean, she's used to, I don't care, there's a spoon for everything, but now she's, you know, trying to, is this the right spoon for, you know, this and that, and you know, that kind of thing.
Give me a performance check.
Okay.
Matter of fact, everyone give me a performance check. Well, everyone that's trying to be nice and polite at dinner.
Oh, so I don't.
Oh, no. I'm a paladin. I'm always polite.
Meepo's a kid. She doesn't know.
Meepo just takes the soup bowl and pours it into her mouth with both hands. Half of it lands on the sequined outfit.
The banging the spoons on the table.
I'm a dragonborn. I ate kind of weird. Okay, hold on.
A 5.
16.
You ate the salad with the wrong fork.
She's just kind of like looking around going, oh boy, they're a different fork than I am. So she just kind of just tries to just quietly and not chew with her mouth open or anything like that. I mean,
There's one point where you try to show that you enjoyed the meal by belching loudly, because that's very common where you're from. It's not so common here. Ari, with
she
your
did grab
crit,
her napkin and try to cover it.
That was a 20.
Yeah, I rolled a 20.
With your 20, so. would you care to assist any of the individuals who are doing it differently?
Wrong.
Because I will allow you to do that.
I don't know. Do I? I don't know Bertha. I've never met her before.
You might have been introduced at dinner. Who knows? But
yeah, you were introduced at dinner.
Yeah, but
no. Because you were Ari was with the group.
Saved her.
Yeah. So yeah. Bertha, you recognize Ari and Fenix, and unfortunately, you also recognize Meepo.
She doesn't have a problem with Meepo.
Actually, he would assist Meepo to try to camp because that.
Yeah, because
he likes her.
Bertha,
she's the one that probably versus his mother the most.
I don't think
he will do make sure Meepo helps Meepo out with. No, honey. It's this fork. It's the little one.
And you hand her the wrong fork. Like, no. Make it worse. <Go ahead.
laughs> No. He wants to help her out.
Okay.
Make her make a good impression. No, he would not. He would not embarrass Meepo.
Okay, so you help Meepo out.
Wrong with all of it, assuming it's like a game you all are playing, because
yes.
I don't think she's had a dinner like this ever, so she has no idea what's going on.
Yes, that would be a good analogy. He would do it like a game,
mm-hmm.
Like Simon says.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
But I just used this fork. Why did they take it away?
She's not too worried. She has, you know, a handful of spoons in her bag somewhere.
She just starts, like, they take the spoon away after the soup course, so she just pulls out a different spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't look like anything like the other spoons.
Right, yeah. It's probably not even the same material, you know.
But, I rolled a 16.
Okay, Fenix, you actually do pretty good. You... In addition to everything else, your parents did raise you to understand proper civility when it comes to finer dining. It's not something you did a whole lot, but it was something that you were expected to know how to do. So you are actually able to, like, you even take that folded up napkin and put it on your lap without having to look for cues from other people for that's what you were supposed to do.
Because I'm so excited that I actually know what I'm doing right, I just flux under the table.
I love this game so much. I really do. I love this game so much. Thank you for making my Saturdays something I look forward to every single week. Okay. And Thava, by the way, is still around, and she is assisting. She seems to be in charge of many of the other servants. Ari, you are fairly certain that Thava's a new hire. Yeah, she wasn't here when you left.
Okay.
But she seems to have risen through the ranks very quickly.
Okay.
All right. And so the Vicontessa drones on about how life has been since you left on your journey, and how your brother's off doing whatever he does, and your sister's off doing whatever she does, and your father is off doing, well, whatever he does. She doesn't seem to have that much interest in what your family is doing, but she is so glad that you have brought this agreement home. She does take. Did you give her the contract already?
No, I was waiting to do that privately.
Okay. She does lean over towards you a little conspiratorially and just goes like. Between you and me, the dwarves are really skimping on the metals that they should be mining. We really need this landfall. So I'm so glad that you came through with this.
What was asked, Lord Idris and I have grown close. I believe the town is desperate. I believe that this will benefit both our family and the town of Cambridge Keep.
You don't need to roll for this. You don't need a robe of eyes for this. She is generally... very pleased with what you have just told her. And she gives you another hug.
Oh, yay. He endures it.
Pina colada.
We can discuss the full details after dinner.
Certainly. Dinner concludes. You have some very nice desserts. Everyone is allowed to spend the night. Galen, you are offered a cot that has been set up in the servants' quarters. It's a half decent cot. So someone decided to cut the cot in half, actually.
accommodate him.
Yeah. Well, a full cot has a bit more structural integrity, though. But they pay well. You actually receive a fee of 100 gold for your performance. And all the leftovers you want to eat.
Okay.
Meepo, Ari, and Fenix, give me one more perception check at disadvantage.
I've got a 5.
That's not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah, Meepo's just overwhelmed by everything here she's never seen before.
14? Okay. 14 total?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not quite sure. Like, it might have just been some random brain synapses firing the first time when you thought Thava looked familiar. It might have just all been in your head.
Ari got a total of 18.
You've heard her voice before. You have heard Thava's voice before.
Where?
Last time you heard her voice, she said, "See you around." And then you stopped her from casting a spell.
I knew it.
And as soon as you make the connection, you hear a voice in your head say, "Oh, I knew I didn't like her." And that's where we'll end it tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as it wasn't the Goblin Shop.
Yeah. I was briefly thinking that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Plot twist. Yes. Plot twist. The Goblin Shaman was actually a Dragonborn.
Yeah.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. Bookofjen.net.